everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world, to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill the promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome back, folks. You're in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Bert today from onlyfreemen.com. Now, the oath is it's an interesting thing. There's only one way to look at an oath. Period. End of story. It is a religious thing. The calling upon God to witness what is said by the person sworn is true, and invoking the divine vengeance upon his head if what he says is false. Other forms of oath are the oath rite, which is the form used at the taking of an oath. That's R-I-T-E, not right, but right. Okay, that's a religious term, oath rite. Oath purgatory, an oath by which a person purges or clears himself from presumptions, charges, or suspicious standing against him, or from a contempt. And you have a lot of different forms that refer, basically, you know, your oath ex officio, etc., etc. Just a plain old oath, an external pledge or asseveration, but always under God. A religious asseveration by which a person renounces the mercy and imprecates the vengeance of heaven if he do not speak the truth. So, you know, what's interesting about the oath is, to me, and according to what's-his-name over at the Organic Law Institute, is that the whole of government is founded. This whole foundation is the oath. Without the oath, there would be nothing, is what he claims. And I could see what he means by that, because you always have an oath of office. But the notion of an oath, you know, it's hard to put this into words, but if you're going in and making an oath to a court to obey the Ten Commandments, that's almost like an oxymoron to me. Because an oath is automatically, no matter how you make it, it's asseveration to God, basically. So
no,
I'm just trying to. Well, no, that's why they give you the option of affirming if you don't have the religious sentiment.
No, and here's why I disagree, because if you are in a court operating under statutes, then you're in that court in a corporate capacity, and in a corporate capacity, the only God that can exist is the God who created the law.
Right, but that God exists because he's claiming to be the vicar, the replacement of God on earth. So it always falls back down to the notion of you're always, in other words, you're basically, when you're taking an oath, you are always under no other circumstances, you are always saying that God will be my final judge. I will literally, like I said, vengeance upon my head if what I say is false. That's referring to the quote unquote afterlife, etc.
Where's that written?
That's, look up any definition of oath.
No, if you're talking about corporate matters, you cannot be talking about any other God except a God that exists within the corporation.
Well, that is, in a sense, true, except that the corporation is always founded under the notion of God, like the supreme being. This is why you have to take an oath to be invoked into the whole religious corporation.
Yeah, but a religion is also a corporate entity. a religion doesn't necessarily mean that you're operating on this true God who created the world.
I get that. But the oath itself is always referring to the supreme higher authority being, whatever you want to call it. It's always referring to Big G God.
I would say that's a propaganda intent.
I don't say it's not. Right? I'm just saying that's what oath is.
Well, that's the propaganda, but in reality, what it is, it's an oath within the corporate matter. And if there are no witnesses, if there is no one who is signing the oath along with you, then it has no meaning. There's no one that can enforce it on you except the thing that you made the oath to. So if you made the oath to the Constitution, then only the Constitution can come after you.
But you're not making an oath to the Constitution. You're making an oath to God. You're making an oath to something through God. In other words, you're saying, I will do this under the penalty of God himself. That's what you're saying.
Okay, so how is God going to come over and make you do it?
Right, that's the point. You're literally putting your soul on the line. That's the point of an oath. It used to have much... You're comparing modern times to old times, when this notion had much more of a romantic and believer type of thing. Yeah, today it's very nonchalant, doesn't mean much to people. But back when the idea of an oath was always you're making an oath to your creator, not to government. You're making it to government through God. And if you break your oath, again, the vengeance of God will come down on you, not government.
Well, yeah, and that's the propaganda. But the truth is that unless you have a group of people who are witnessing your oath and holding you to the oath can only be exercised by God getting upset with you and doing something to you. That's the only way it's going to happen. But if you enter into a true contract with your oath, which is basically what I'm trying to do here, with three other people that can actually act as witnesses, no different than if you enter into a contract and you put an X on it and three other people say, yeah, he actually did enter into that contract. And in fact, we're witnessing that he did promise that he was going to do that, even if the guy had no hands and he just simply said, yes, I affirm this contract, and those three witnesses are there to hold you to it. Well, it's just as good as if you signed it.
Okay. No.
Right?
I don't know if I agree or not.
That would be a contract. You can have three witnesses testify that you agree to the contract, and you don't have to even touch the contract.
What's the contract?
Whatever contract you enter into. If you enter into a contract between party A and party B and you cannot sign, but three people are witnesses that say that, yeah, you agree to abide by the contract, then you agree to abide by the contract. You have three witnesses that can testify to it.
And again, under what name are you entering under the contract? See, again, I mean, I should pull up all my quotes that I've been compiling here, because over and over it tells you you can't be in mammon, which is again contract, and you can't be in under God. You can't have both. So if you're entering into a contract and you're invoking God, you're actually committing a blasphemy, an abomination. I mean, this is why the oath is a bad thing. It's you're taking an oath, again, to something fictional or artificial through God.
Okay, and who's doing that?
I'm sorry?
Who does that?
I don't know what your question is.
Who takes a fictional oath through God?
Well, okay, so what name are you going to use on your contract? You're obviously respecting some person, right?
Just
which,
Bert.
Which the
just
Bible
me.
Tells you not.
Just
well,
me,
if
Bert.
You're doing if you're doing just Bert, you don't need a written contract. So all this is mute. So the only way you're gonna ever be able to use this is if you're acting in person as an artificial person, and therefore you're not acting under God. So it's a moot point. I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
I don't understand your point, because if I enter into an agreement with you and we want to put it in writing so it'd be memorialized, what? We can't enter into an agreement and have three other witnesses testify to
it. You can, but you have to admit that that's a legal contract. It's going to be bound by legal laws, and if you're doing it in the state surname, it's going to be bound by the state laws because you're operating in a capacity that is state property. Therefore, it's going to be under administrative law.
Okay, but you're going and I'm saying it's just between you and I.
Well, then, if it's you and I, I'm never gonna sign a contract with you because I trust you, and you have a reputation with me. I know you're gonna do. I would never ever ask you to turn into and go into Mammon just to satisfy.
Okay, but what if I change my mind? I said, well, let's put it in writing just to make sure that there's no ifs or buts, and we enter into the agreement, and we say, and we're going to uphold each other according to these 10 commandments here. This is going to be the law that we're going to apply to our contract. What's wrong with that?
Well, I guess, I mean, if, like I said, under what name?
Your first name and my first name. It doesn't because matter. I can call you Monkey and I can call myself Horse. It doesn't matter. We have three witnesses that saw it happen. What does it matter what we call each other? It doesn't matter.
All right.
We can put whatever name we want.
I certainly wouldn't sign a contract and call myself Horse. I'm sorry.
You call yourself King Tut. How about that?
it just seems redundant. Again, I mean, if it's a contract between Horse and Cow, then it's a redundant. It's like not having a contract at all. So why would you? So here's my problem with society. Right, we're getting into, like, I was just listening to a commercial today for Angie's List. Right now, Angie's List is like one of the worst places you could go because it relies on customers of people to put in comments to ensure that the business is good. Well, let me tell you, my neighbors hired a guy because all the comments were wonderful. Turned out the comments were from themselves. And they came along and stole a bunch of stuff. Turned out to be drug dealers. The guy got shot, actually. So they actually turned out to be thieves, right? And we're relying on their name, their person, their business name, and a bunch of people we don't know, which is, you call them witnesses, to trust in this person. Why would I do business with someone that I don't know and I don't trust? Well, I know why, because we don't have any community. We don't have any notion of who our trusted friends and countrymen are. We are so completely gone from that type of situation. That's why.
Exactly. That's my exact point. And that's why we need to begin to put a system where we actually bring people together and make them liable to each other. That's the only way that anything's going to work. If you have no liability in nothing that anyone does to anyone, then there's nothing. There's nothing to account to.
Right. This is what I'm trying to say is that before the modern advent of all this crap that we go through, an oath to God was way more powerful than anything you could do.
And well, it may be, but it was still an oath to the air. It's an oath between you and something. So the other something is the only one that is liable to your oath. But if your oath includes real men around you, well, now you have real men around you that can hold you to it. That's the difference.
Well, there again, my vision is that you have to have you definitely have to have a system of quote unquote punishment, penitence, whatever. And the only thing that would seem to work for me in a quote unquote society would be banishment. So that you don't, your reputation literally is taken away from you. No one will do business with you until you have repented or whatever. You can come back and start doing it again. If you mess up again, then you're gone for longer, right? But in our current system, there is no all of this is so false. I don't know. I'm getting off in tangent land here, but it's just that all of this is so, it's all legal, it's all fiction, it's all false. It doesn't really mean anything in the end anyway, like you're saying, and because the oath to God is not taken seriously anymore.
Right. But you know, the oath to anything, my point is the oath to anything. Whatever you take an oath to, if there is no one that is going to hold you to it, then it's basically worthless. It's useless. And that's what all these oaths that all these government people take, they're useless. You can't really hold them to it because there's no accountability. They didn't contract with another man. If I enter into a contract with you, that's a contract between you and I, and if we have witnesses that can testify to the validity of the contract, then it's a contract. Right. I can hold you to it. But if I make a contract to you, but I say, well, you know, I'm going to make a contract, I'm going to do this for you, but I'm going to enter it with that bird flying up there, you know, with the moon, with God, with whatever you want to call it, then that means you cannot enforce anything on me because it's between me and the other thing. So it's crazy. And when you begin to really understand the reality of these things, then you can then move on and really begin to understand a lot of other things that are going on in everyday society, like all these executory agreements that we enter into. We're the only ones that are signing it. We're executing the contract, and we're entering the contract with who? Some fictional thing. Some corporation. How is that corporation going to come over and hold us to it? It's no different than an oath to the Constitution, an oath to God, an oath to whatever. See what I'm saying?
Well, I guess what I'm trying to say is that the oath actually meant something at some point. You could actually use it, and instead of doing what we do today, you could, say, put a lien on someone's, a real lien, the old kind of lien, on someone's, you know, property or stuff, so that they couldn't use it until they honored the oath, the contract, if you will. But today, that's just not how it works. So, anyway.
Well, but I mean, even if you go back into history, at least all the way, you know, 100, 300 years before the conception of the United States, people were still honoring all of these oaths. And this oath, again, most of them were, unless they were being made to the king, which then you had witnesses around you, and if you didn't exercise your oath to the king, well, you probably were going to lose your head, all right? But there were people around you who were witnessing the oath.
Mm.
But if there were no witnesses, the oath was meaningless. You know, and because we're now operating in a legal world where all legality is black and white, meaning that it has to be written, if there are no witnesses next to your name on that oath that you took, it's useless. And I've looked at oaths from judges, oaths from attorneys, all these bunch of different oaths, and they're the only ones who are signing it. No one else is.
So let me ask you this then how could you possibly ever expect any of those people to stand in honor? If their oath is not honorable, if their law is not honorable, if their person, their flattering title is not honorable, why would you expect any of these people to stand in honor? Even if you do quote them their own law.
Well, there lies the, how do you say, the crux of the matter. And that's why this whole idea of the declaratory judgment is making a lot more sense. Because if your law, if your right is already been recognized before you enter one of these courts, then the judge has to act in honor of that law. He has to recognize it, or his system is going to come down on him. Because he now, in that capacity, has to recognize the law that was adjudicated by another judge, especially a judge of a superior court.
Mm.
But yeah, that's correct. What you're saying? How are you going to hold them to anything when everything that they're doing, it's meaningless. I mean, right now I am fighting various battles in you know with people, right? In various courts, and it's so obvious that these judges are pulling for the banks. It's obvious. Well, not even, they're not even banks. I mean, they're these collection agencies in these foreclosures. It's so obvious that they're pulling for them. I mean, at times it seems like they're ignorant, and I think they are. But when you start moving up the ladder in some of these courts, you really cannot just leave it to plain ignorance, because it doesn't make sense, unless the judges are really not reading any of the things that is going before them. But at least the system that they're operating in, it's geared against you and in favor of these servicing companies, you know. And I mean, one of these days I'll pass on some of this additional stuff that I'm learning, because I'm also starting to communicate with the Federal Reserve Bank to get some answers about certain things that they do in their operations. There's a lot of information in the Federal Reserve website if people want to take the time to read and not fall asleep while they're reading it. It's really hard to read this kind of stuff sometimes. Now it's becoming more interesting to me. But the whole financial system, if we begin to understand some of these realities of how it operates, then it will allow us to at least not fall into some of the traps that they lay for us and we happily walk into.
1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to call in today. Clark versus United States in 1877. Very interesting. It says, every man is supposed to know the law. And when it says every man is supposed to know, you got to realize that means presupposed to know the law. In other words, it's not like pointing the finger and says, well, you're supposed to know the law. No, it's saying every man is considered as knowing the law. That's a very important tenet. If you're under a law, you're expected to know it. Doesn't matter if you don't. That's the horrible thing about volunteerism. Every man is supposed to know the law. A party who makes a contract with an officer without having it reduced to writing is knowingly accessory to a violation of duty on his part. Such a party aids in the violation of the law. So a party who makes a contract with an officer without having it reduced to writing is knowingly accessory to a violation of duty on his part. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, they're talking about liability.
Mm-hmm.
If you are entering into this contract that's a fog that you cannot, you know, reduce to writing, you cannot reduce to something that you can go back and double check, well, then you now cannot hold that officer to anything. So you're giving up the power of holding the other party to any kind of liability.
Mm.
So that, I mean, that's the whole thing. Anything that deals with a commercial transaction, it's all about liability. Now, something that we're going to get into later on, I'm still kind of researching it, is this idea that when you go to when you're brought in into a criminal matter, there must be a financial equation to that criminal act. There must be a commercial value to that criminal act. And they never offer it to you. And I'm getting ready to start questioning that. Because people sometimes wonder, like, how come the rich get off? How come they commit these horrible things and they don't go to jail? Well, could it be that they're paying the commercial value of the crime? A crime is just a violation. And when they take you to court, they charge you with a violation.
Charge.
Charge. all charges have value.
Good point. Well, yeah, and I've heard that. I don't know where I heard that before, but I've certainly heard that there are certain people who go to jail to pay for their crimes, and there's certain people who pay for their crimes outside of jail.
Yes, exactly.
Absolutely. Interesting.
Well, you got some calls there, Ben.
Fred in California. Welcome, Fred.
Hey, how you doing, Ben? How you doing, Bert?
Hey, sir.
I got to get a life. Not because I'm on the show today, but, Bert, you're going to like this. I was listening to my iPod today, and I have about 20 recordings of Clint's shows back in 2014, and I was listening to the January 2nd show where you had Gary on, and you were talking about citizenship. But let me get to this oath of office, because this is an approach I was going to take in a civil court with judge, prosecutor, and myself, and that is, and it had to do with the oath of office, because I was reading a lot of oaths between the judge and the prosecution, and they're very almost alike. You know, it's uphold, you know, the state constitution, yada, yada. Nothing about protecting the rights of you and me. But my take on this is there enough in that oath to create a conflict of interest which would negate me from getting a fair trial? Because the money collected and the fact that the judge and the prosecution both took almost the same oath to the state, doesn't that create a conflict of interest?
I mean, technically, yes, if you look at everything the way you're saying it, but if you are looking especially for a statutory remedy, then there's no other way that you can obtain the statutory remedy unless you go through their court. And if this is the way their court operates, then you have to take it.
Okay.
Unless there's a different contract that you're operating under.
Right. One thing I'd like to say, and I've thought about this many times, and I would really like to see, Clint and Bert, that on your shows, if you could introduce somebody with the opposite viewpoint, or in this case, when we're talking law, let's get a judge in here. Let's get some reaction from judges. Or if we're going to, let's try this out, pantomime it as if you're going to court. I would like to hear you, Bert, present your arguments in the form of the way you would address it in a court of law with the judge up there, where you're going through and saying, Your Honor, you know, with all due respect, you know, I happen to want to represent myself as a citizen under the, you know, Article 4, Section 2, and I'm not a 14th Amendment citizen. You know what I'm saying? And what would their reaction be? I would like to hear more applied law than theoretical. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I know what you're saying, but see, like when I'm talking about some of these things, I mean, I'll finish when we come back.
Yeah, hold on, folks. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead. Pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
So let me get this straight. You want to, me to invite an American Bar Association judge, attorney, judge or prosecutor, whatever, specifically a judge, though, onto the show to talk about the corruption of the courts and the corruption of the very thing that they operate as the legal system in commercial capacity under admiralty law?
Absolutely, but you got to be kind, Clint. You got to keep them anonymous.
Do you really? I mean, if you get one of them for me, I'd be happy to do it.
Yeah, I know. It's I was sitting here thinking during the commercial break, you know, I was putting myself in your position, you know. Yeah.
Actually, I may be able to have an attorney actually come up with us, and he's an attorney that has been was working with me on a case, and I told Clint a little bit of the story on this, and he ended up dropping out of the case
because he was beholden to the bar.
Yeah, because he's still holding a license, so. So we may be able to bring him in down the road, because he says that he is going to drop the license. And once he drops the license, then he'll be able to be more candid about it. But here's the thing, and that's why if you listen to what I'm always trying to say, I try to be very careful with what I'm saying, because I cannot come on this show or on anything else and say, you know, if you do this, 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 and that, man, you got it.
Right.
It's not going to work. Because there is no formula for any one person to work. I can have five people go to, you know, exactly identical cases and exercise the same exact thing and come up with completely different outcomes.
Yeah, I think it's important to say, again, that the law of the land is due process of law. Yeah, that comes from the court. So they're making the law. They're... The law sits there pretty much prostate without doing anything until the courts get a hold of it. And then they talk about it and they give their opinions and they decide on whether the law applies or doesn't apply or can't apply. And that's really what the law of the land is. So we have to remember that in every case, you know, we can quote all the court cases we want, and it's good to do so to an extent, but we have to remember that every court case is an individual thing, and one precedent might not apply to the next.
Yeah, but let me clarify that thing, because this is a big problem. You know, case law, attorneys make mistake all the time with it, and you know, patriots or people going to court make this mistake all the time. Just because you happen to find a really nice quote inside of a case that just happens to say everything exactly, this is what I'm saying in court, Your Honor, see, judge blah 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 said it in this other case, you know, Joe Blow versus Mrs. Jane or whatever. But you know, it means nothing, because case law is nothing more than the recognition of an existing law.
And it's opinion, too. It's basically an opinion.
Well, you have to understand the difference. And everybody has opinions, and like Clint Eastwood would say, they usually, you know, they're like, you know what, and they usually stink. So what you have to remember is, what is the case law? There may be a case that is 100 pages long, and the case law might only be a sentence. That sentence is the case law in the entire 100 pages. So the court can only recognize a law. They don't make law. They cannot make law. So there's no such thing as case law if you say, well, there's statute 202 and then there's case law Johnson versus Johnson. No. Johnson versus Johnson recognized an existing law. That's all what case law really is. So we need to comprehend that, and then we're able to see what's going on in court a little bit more clear.
Okay, well, look, I don't know, I think I have too much of your time. You get other people, but thanks again for what you guys do. It's
all right, Benny.
Hey, thanks a lot. Take care, Clint.
Take care.
All right, my friend. Yeah, in other words, they're deliberating over a law, but again, they have the power to nullify the law or to apply the law, and they have the power to apply it in different ways. And so it's kind of scary when you think of it that way, because I mean, you're giving ultimate power to someone to decide whether the law applies to you or not. And that's why we always talk about on this show, especially with Bert, man, you better tell them what the law is, or they're gonna if you leave it up to their opinion, you're probably gonna get screwed. So you want them to have the least amount of opinion that they can have.
Yeah, so let me clarify what you said. So it's not that they nullify the law. Now, that is the end result, the appearing end result in a lot of court cases. It appears that they're in fact nullifying the law. But what actually happens is they
except.
via preventing witnesses and via preventing evidence from entering the case, they make it difficult to apply the law.
Mm.
Okay? But the law is there from the beginning, and when a judge purposely goes out of his way to prevent you from presenting your case via the facts, via the witness, and all those kind of things, well, now there's a problem. Okay? But when it's you fighting some big corporation, well, of course, they're going to allow the corporation to bring in all their witnesses. They're going to try to prevent you from bringing in yours. So that's why you have to make a record, which is the, you know, another face of this whole thing, is making a record within the record, making sure that the record is as clear as possible. So if anyone else looks at it, they'll say, well, man, it's obvious that, you know, the guy was doing everything within his power to present everything, and the judge was denying him, which is their favorite expression, deny, deny.
Yeah, I was also thinking just now about jury nullification, where they can actually nullify the law, so there is that. But, yeah, I mean, the point is that the law... The law is just a concept until the court applies it, I guess, is the point, or does not apply it, or whatever the description you just gave. Let's go back to phones. Go to Joe in Missouri. What's up, man?
Hey guys,
how you doing?
Hey, two of my favorite researchers, two of the hardest working researchers in show business.
Two of the biggest idiots out here.
not a real show, but anyways, not a real show business. I'm not the Fred from California. He wanted, you know, caller to get some people with differing opinions. I didn't even want to call in earlier because I heard the sparks flying from you two. I heard differing opinions tonight. I didn't want to get between the Clash of the Titans on this one, but, I asked you about this the other day, Clint, and this is something I want to talk with you about as well, Freebert, but I'm very interested in this entire subject, but I'm wondering how this affects my relationship to my kids. In a situation with, you know, a disillusion and obviously the state running the whole show and the government and the fictional situation whereby I'm recognized in that whole thing and everyone else involved in this fictional state. So I wonder about enacting some of these things. So that's, and we don't have to sidetrack on that, but that's one of the things that I'm trying to get to the heart
of.
Well,
you know, I know what you're talking about, and I consider this to be one of the great deceptions, one of the great weapons. Children, in the legal capacity, the contractual nature of the child, the infant connected to the state. I thought about this the other day, actually, and I said, you know, the state that we have been tricked into being, you know, back in the days when there were clans and there were tribes, the tribes would fight for their freedoms, their protections, and they would fight for their children. Today, we have been tricked into this sort of three-party system where that we've talked about before, where the children belong to the state, they're birthed and abandoned into the state, and someone like yourself might be hesitant to actually seek your own freedom, and maybe perhaps that of your children, simply because the court might say, well, you can't see your children anymore. So we've gone from a state where we were absolutely beautifully in love and protective of our children to being cowed, to being put in a state of servitude because of our children. And that's the difference, I think, between living in true love and affection and living in this fictional state where our children can actually be used as collateral against us if we do not take the mark and keep the mark. You know, it's a crying shame, if you ask me, that one of the biggest excuses, and I don't blame people, don't get me wrong, I'm just saying one of the biggest excuses for not trying to do anything in this world and fix things and correct things is my children. I don't do it because of my children. And that's like, wait a minute, shouldn't it be the opposite of that? Shouldn't you be doing everything you can for yourself and then in the name of your children? I don't know. It's just my opinion, but it just
strikes... Oh, I totally agree with you, and that's why I want to drill down on this, because speaking for myself, I'm not... You might have to do what's right for your children, may be a little more complicated than just sticking within the boundaries of something that's already been prescribed. So,
yeah, I mean, it's literally the choice of saying, well, I'm going to keep my children and myself in slavery. Just
and I'm trying to kind of drill down in that. And so let me keep things on track with tonight's show. Bert, I don't have it in front of me, but I know you've said before that oath, you can look up a definition, essentially equals a declaration. An oath and is a declaration. And then I can't help but see that what KW has been doing is this declaratory judgment. And I know that things are different, but the concept of declaration seems to be central here. And then to even take it a step further with regard to the family and all this, it was KW himself who sort of alluded to me that maybe if you move into the kind of thing he's done, you can still at that point represent yourself. And I think that's what you're trying to achieve with your oath, Bert, is to be able to represent yourself in the proper status or what have you in these courts, so that I could, in that case, roll hypothetically, or anyone, roll into the family court and do things the right way and have things, you know, still be able to do what you're doing, to walk, as you were saying, Bert, you know, a more correct kind of a path, be honorable, an honorable path, and still kind of pull this off. And one thing he was talking about, and then I'm going to shut up and let you guys talk because I know things are running down, was, and the three of us have talked about this before, you guys and I, the family Bible as being another backing up, and it seems like another thing they would even back up what you're talking about, Bert, in terms of your oath. If you had a family Bible that has the actual genealogy of the family that you might want to put in there and can lay down, those could be some of your three witnesses right there as your family members.
Yeah. It's all part of the thing, but it's painting this picture and getting a basic system put together for people to follow. And that's what I'm trying to do, is simplify this thing so it doesn't have to be so mammoth and so complicated like everything is.
That makes a lot of sense. And the other thing you're trying to do is be very preemptive. Get this stuff in effect on the front end.
Absolutely.
Exactly. That's what we want to be. We want to be ready before the trouble happens.
I mean, I don't. Maybe you're not familiar, Bert, with the KW stuff. I'm still trying. I'm trying to get my mind around his stuff and your oath. They seem to be cut from a similar cloth, although the distinctions are very different. But they both seem to be on the front end and help to establish your status that then directs what's going to go on in the court from there on, instead of being in this constant thing about, well, wait a minute, what are you defining me as? And, you know, this kind of thing.
Yeah, well, if you don't define your status, they're going to define it for you.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right, looks like I got a couple more calls here. Thanks, Joe. Let's go to Brandon in Detroit. Brandon, welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, how's things in Detroit?
As I understand it, you are not obligated to get your child a birth certificate, and you are not obligated to get your child a Social Security number.
It's all voluntary.
Well, when you do, that's an adhesion contract making you a U.S. citizen, and therefore you have to follow all the rules and laws that the corporation gives you to follow, right?
If you want the benefit, yeah.
If you want the benefit. So to properly live in honor of God, we would be forbidden from having a Social Security number. And basically giving our children as chattel property, like in a marriage, the children of government owns the children.
Yes, and that's the thing that you have heard Clint and I say, you know, a bunch of times. If just a small percentage of these people that call themselves Christians and go to church every Sunday, if they were to act like Christians, we would have a different country.
Well, I mean, I like to think that, I mean, I grew up Protestant. I call myself a Christian. I'm not perfect. I'm definitely a sinner. To hold anybody accountable, even the bar attorneys, do you really think that every bar attorney understands what you guys understand?
Well, probably not, but do you think most Christians understand those basic Ten Commandments?
Well, no, I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God. You know,
okay, but I mean, what I'm saying, that's only Ten Commandments. So if they don't understand Ten Commandments, then we should not whine about attorneys not knowing the 10,000 laws that they're supposed to know. You see my point?
All right, folks, stay tuned. We will be right back.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, you know, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it, and she says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Is this real? 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 Or is this just a rhyme?
It's like a ride. You think it's real? Think it's real? It's just a ride. We can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice.
Let's see. We are. Oh, looks like Brandon is gone. Let's go to Tom in Florida. Welcome, Tom.
Yeah, good day to you all out there. I'd like to bring something up. You talk about religion. I'm wondering, we got the leader of the free world, who you well know as Barry Sortero. he went to a church where they used the GD ward all day in the church, I guess, and that's all he ever remembered is GD to United States. And then he's afraid to use the Islamic ward with ISIS, Islamic Jihad. But, you know, we got this guy, Obama, who is the president, and when he was running for office, he wouldn't sign for homosexuality. But guess what's happened in the United States? Homosexuality is running rampant now in this country. And, you know, that's what happened to the world the first time when God got upset. And it's going to happen again. You can see what happened in the Old Testament. It's going to happen again because of what's going on with when we got spineless leadership in our government. And it's just unreal what's going on in the world today. It really is. And you got a guy like Obama who's talking about, 22 times he's, I mean, this guy's talking about immigration, he can't do it, he's doing it, homosexuality, he finds good.
What would you do about homosexuality?
Well, as we know in the Bible, it's against God's law.
Okay, what would you do about it?
And if you look at Sodom and Gomorrah, why is God so angry at the world that he actually flooded the world?
What would you do about it? Would you become the judge? Would you become God? And what are you going to do about it?
It's been for the last couple hundred years in the closet. It could have stayed in the closet a little, don't you think?
Well, you say there's a problem, so what's your suggestion? What do you say we do about it? And who's we?
What I suggest is you can have it, but if they want to keep it in the closet, keep it themselves, fine. But to try to start promoting on TV shows and all this other stuff, in nonsense. It's against God's law, and that's all I got to say about that.
And that's fine, and I'm not going to disagree with you or agree with you. I'm just going to say, what would you have us do about it?
Well, let me ask you a question then. You're asking me, I'm going to ask you. If we had a Republican president who was very conservative, what do you think would be happening right now?
I don't want to be in this country. I don't want to be in under the president. I don't want to be under the United States. It's a lie. So you're saying the United States should come in and what? Kill all homosexuals, put them in jail, send them out of the country? What are you saying?
I'm saying it's against God's law. I have to be up to God's judgment, not up to me,
well,
or up to you.
Probably more important things to worry about than whether someone's going to go to hell because they're homosexual. It's not affecting you.
Do you believe in the Old Testament? Hello?
Dude, I'm not. This is totally off topic, and it's a pointless argument because.
What I'm trying to say is, it's already been written in history. If you look at the Bible, because of decadence and decay, the world was supposedly with Noah, flooded for 40 days and 40 nights.
Okay, yeah, the world was flooded because of homosexuality. Thank you, goodbye. the randomness of calls, it always entertains, doesn't it, Bert?
Well, you know, it's very easy to pick a target and blame it as being the source of evils.
I know. And no one could dare blame themselves for not acting under the God's law. There always has to be someone else, right?
Yeah, and that's the thing, is we need to begin with ourselves, and that's why I'm really changing the approach of everything I do. It has to begin with us and end with us.
Yeah, and let's just be clear. The reason that homosexuality and every other ality out there, ism out there, is accepted is because you're under a government that forces you to accept it. Whites have to live with blacks, etc., etc., etc. If you don't like that, form your own community. Get out of the United States. We've been talking about that for a year now. Anyway, thanks, Bert. Always a pleasure. We'll stay tuned. We're done. Good day, folks.
With financial